getting our news over the wire, and so we shall try it again today and see what kind of luck we have here. I don't know. We will see. It's one of those things. It's an internet news service, and you just never know whether they're going to have cable trouble or what. But we're a few seconds off from that yet, anyway. So we'll just we'll wait up on that.
You're tuned to the Quality News Network. If you are not hearing the background sound of the teletype machine,
there he is.
CNN is temporarily off the air.
He's explaining that again.
We broadcast the finest hourly newscasts in the country from 6 a.m. through 6:05 p.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday.
Well, we'll wait and see if they actually come up and do the news. They're supposed to be having it on right now, though.
On demand for an hour after the broadcast. Click latest. CNN also.
Let's see where we're at here. See, you get, there's nothing like live radio. You guys get to be right in on it.
This is the Quality News Network. In Iraq, so far 69 U.S. soldiers have died this month, making it one of the deadliest months for U.S. troops since the war began. On Tuesday, in and around Baghdad, 9 U.S. soldiers and 1 Marine were killed by roadside bombs and enemy fire. White House spokesperson Tony Snow said despite the recent spike in deaths, President Bush would not reconsider his Iraq plans. British Prime Minister Tony Blair also defended his policy of keeping troops in Iraq. He said it would be a, quote, gross dereliction of our duty to withdraw before Iraqi troops are ready to assume responsibility. Elsewhere in Iraq, 40 people are still missing after their 13-car convoy was attacked at a checkpoint outside of Balad on Sunday. In the past 5 days, nearly 100 people have been killed there in sectarian fighting. In Baghdad today, at Saddam Hussein's genocide trial, 2 Kurdish witnesses testified of massacres they witnessed. The top NATO commander in Afghanistan says the West has made mistakes there in the past 5 years and has only a 6-month window of opportunity to turn the situation around. In Tokyo today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice made the first stop of her trip to Asia and Russia to de-escalate the crisis, which followed North Korea's test of a nuclear weapon last week. She tried to reassure the region that the United States would defend its allies. She repeated that the United States has no intention of attacking North Korea. CNN is reporting that North Korea has informed China that it may conduct as many as 3 additional nuclear tests. U.S. spy satellites have detected activity in North Korea that could be preparation for more testing. In Spain, officials have backed out of a $620 million contract to provide Venezuela with military aircraft. It was Spain's largest ever defense deal. The country's foreign minister said it had to be suspended because of U.S. opposition. In Washington, the House Ethics Panel continues to hear testimony from those involved in the Page scandal. Louisiana Representative Rodney Alexander said he and his staff contacted the House Speaker's office after learning of questionable emails sent to a former Page from then-Representative Mark Foley. In West Palm Beach, Florida, an attorney for Foley said that the former congressman will reveal the name of the Catholic clergyman who allegedly abused him while he was a teenager. And the spouse of former Massachusetts Congressman Gary Studs, the first openly gay member of Congress who died this week, has been denied death benefits routinely paid to surviving congressional spouses because the federal government only recognizes heterosexual marriages.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
In Hawaii, authorities have put a preliminary price tag of $46 million on damages from Sunday's 6.7 earthquake. President Bush signed a new national space policy, the first full revision in 10 years. It is centered on security issues, and it encourages private enterprise in space. Blue Cross of California will settle more than 70 lawsuits and claims filed by patients who accuse the health insurer of illegally canceling their policies after they became ill. Worldwide, the music industry has launched 8,000 lawsuits to stop illegal file sharing. Universal Music is suing two websites, Grouper.com and Bolt.com, for encouraging users to share videos without the company's permission. Some of Apple's video iPods shipped over the past month carry a computer virus that could affect computers running Microsoft Windows. Radio Shack will offer consumers online classes to teach them about tech topics such as digital photography, satellite radio, and high-definition television. The federal government announced Social Security checks are going up by 3.3% next year. The cost of living adjustment equals about $33 more per month in the average check. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $57.62 a barrel. And in early morning trading, the Dow went past the record 12,000 mark. The Dow is currently up 36 points at 11,986. The NASDAQ down 8. The S&P 500 is flat. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well, here we are back doing overtime again. That's right. We're filling in for Bruce Burch. Normally, Bruce would be starting right now from 5 till 7 o'clock here on the Head On Radio Network. But Bruce is taking a little hiatus, and Bob and I are splitting up the time. So Bob Kincaid will be with you at 6 o'clock, going from 6 to 10. And I'll be with you until 6 p.m. Eastern time, we're talking here. You know the whole world's on Eastern time. Well, just about, anyway. Isn't that something where we live? It's hard getting used to being on a different time slot moving. I mean, my brother moved to Phoenix last year, and said it was difficult for a little while to get used to things starting at a certain time and so forth. But anyway, that's the way it is. We're glad to have all of you along with us here this afternoon. We've got a much more reserved program today than we had yesterday. I don't want to say yesterday's program wasn't serious, because there were some serious elements to it. But the show started right off yesterday with a caller calling from Columbus, Ohio, saying that he knew that Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and I don't know who else, he said, were all having sex with one another. and that just kind of got it going. And then somebody threw in the local Fort Myers Beach Turkey Testicle Festival. And the whole show just kind of revolved around that yesterday. I should say evolved from that. And I don't know, had a lot of laughs yesterday. Today, I guess just deadly serious today. I don't know. I don't want to be deadly serious all day today, though. And I hope you'll give us a call here on the program, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. I see they're talking at the Head On Radio Network chat room about Mike Malloy coming back out in Phoenix on the 30th, and that's a good thing. I don't know what the time what time slot Mike's going to have yet and how that will translate if they do live stream or what. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I do know that's one of Shelley Dovney's radio stations, and I'm glad to see Shelley and God and Mike getting back together again. And that's a really good thing. So congratulations, and I hope that works out very, very, very well. Somebody mentioned my Yorkies. Got two Yorkies now. GMR 366 says, tosses Guy a Yorkie a biscuit for being so patient. Yeah, we were talking about the Drobneys. They were the founders, the original founders of AAR, and then they kind of got out of it. And, okay, Ray Hinckley says he's going to be in his old time slot. Now, will that be, somebody tell me, is that going to be Eastern time or Pacific Coast time? because Phoenix is on Pacific Coast time. I really don't know. So it'll be interesting to know what time he's going to be on. Whether it's... I don't know. I was looking for an answer to that, and I don't have it. And someone asked me on the chat room if I got their email. No, I didn't. And I got an interesting email. Where is this at here? Somebody sent me... Rick sends me an email. Rick listens to the program every day, and he says, run, hide, or kill yourself because the terrorists are going to help George again just in time for the election. Are you ready for some dirty bomb football, Rick? Well, Rick, God, I hope not. I hope not. I just noticed our interview didn't call today. We were going to have... John Amato from Crooks and Liars. He was going to call us around 3:30, and I got to talking there, and he never did. So don't know what happened there. It isn't a great website, Crooks and Liars. He probably got busy. But that's a great website. I often go there to look at video and so forth. And, you know, the Internet's just getting to be so doggone good there, and that YouTube and so many interesting things. I mean, I think it's fascinating that you can watch mainstream media. I don't know if they consider cable mainstream or not. I do. They steal stuff off of YouTube and MySpace and all that all the time. So that's really something that the old blogosphere and the Internet's just getting to be, well, it's getting to be pretty mainstream itself. And isn't it something that so many people... to back up whatever political stance they have, they'll challenge your facts and say, "Oh, you read that on the internet. You got that off the internet, didn't you?" As though everything on the internet. Hey, listen. Those of you that don't believe in the power of the internet, there's National Enquirer type sites like Drudge, and what's that Newsmax. I think Drudge and Newsmax would be considered like the National Enquirer of the Internet, and there's many others as well, and there's some on the left as well. I freely admit that. But there's some damn good sites, and there's sites that they're facts. You can take them to the bank. So many, many people, when you get into a political discussion with them, you know, when you hear that, why, you know, they're just... blowing smoke. Oh, what'd you get that off the internet? Yeah, I did. I did it. I did get it off the internet. I got it. Paul Krugman said it, or Noam Chomsky said it, or Glenn Greenwald. Do many of you read Glenn Greenwald? Let me give you. Let me close this little browser here and see where I'm at here. Glenn Greenwald has got a terrific website called Unclaimed Territory by Glenn Greenwald. And let me see if I can get up the address. Yeah, it's glenngreenwald.blogspot.com. And you talk about a great writer. We had him on when we were in Washington not too long ago. And a terrific guy and a great writer, glenngreenwald.blogspot.com. There isn't a better writer on the internet, I guarantee you. You will love his site. You absolutely will. I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm to my Democrat friends, and you know I don't spare the whip on the Democrats if I think things are wrong, but I'm sorry to tell you that this republic of ours is in peril. It is in peril, and America, the good, the great nation that once inspired the people of the world to demand democracy and freedom, I believe it's on its deathbed, and we've almost blown it. And in 6 short years, our once admired country has become hated by a majority of humanity. And this isn't all our fault, but you know we're not blameless. Our record speaks for itself. We let George Bush seize power, and we let him start a needless war of aggression, and we let the U.S. Congress become his rubber stamp, and we didn't challenge his idiotic axis of evil nonsense. And that encouraged the nuclear proliferation. Now North Korea has the bomb, ostensibly as a deterrent to a U.S. invasion. Iran is doing everything it can to build one, too. You let a president become an emperor. You know, the freedom of our country has long stood for are all but gone, the habeas corpus. Actually, the most basic legal right you could have has been repealed, as have the Geneva Conventions. And little George, the emperor, can now declare anyone, anywhere, an enemy combatant and have them imprisoned and tortured for an indefinite period of time. All of it without a trial. And he could even do it to you. And I'll get to the phones in just a moment. Hang on. But despite all of that, there is some good news. Country still got a chance. And perhaps this is the last chance to save our country. And we should be encouraged. A majority of Americans will stand up with us in this Democratic Party if the party will only stand up and fight. And I'm talking to the Democratic Party. Tens of millions of Americans detest the Bush administration. They're disgusted with what our country has become. And America is now looked upon as a rogue nation, ruled by some sort of a military dictator. And as a party, my Democratic Party, you've got to do something to change that. And as you know, congressional elections are going to take place in, well, a little less than 3 weeks. And our party's likely to make some gains. And there's a three-step plan to restore the honor around the world of this great country. And it's a plan that'll win back billions of people that we've lost during this terribly dark period in American history. A, let's win Congress by standing up to the Bush administration. B, and I'm deadly serious about this, start hearings to impeach George W. Bush and the rest of his neocon gang. And C, put all of them that need be on trial for crimes against humanity. They're guilty of many crimes. That's pretty simple, huh? So, you know, come on, my friends, my Democratic friends, we can do this, and we need to have courage. And if the party will actually enact this plan, it'll show the world that America holds itself accountable for all the damage that we've done. So the only way that we can win back the respect and the hearts and the minds of the people all around the world, and holding the Bush administration accountable, is the only good option that we've got. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves lamenting the loss of what was once a great and free nation. We're so close to losing all of our friends. So my Democratic Party, stand up. Stand up and be strong this time. Save our once great nation before it's too late. Somebody's got to. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, how you doing?
I'm great.
Yeah, this is Rick in Panama City.
Hi, Rick.
Yeah, I sent an email because I didn't know if you had seen the coverage that's blossoming all around about the terrorists are going to blow up the football stadiums with dirty bombs.
No. When did that happen? While we've been on the air here?
Yeah. It's cracking out all over the place. Then after they're making a big deal out of it, they turn and say, of course, there's no truth to it, and nobody's putting any credence in it, and everybody should go to the game.
Isn't that typical? Isn't that so typical?
So then they had Paul Begal on CNN with the submarine captain there, Blitzer, and with Babe Buchanan, of all people.
Oh.
And they were matched up. And Begal actually pointed right out the fact that, isn't it amazing, every time we have an election, we have a weird terrorist alert that never amounts to anything, and they always, you know, they wait for the media to make a big deal out of it, but they always have that caveat. Of course, everything we just told you is a lie.
Yeah. You know, it's like when a newspaper makes a big mistake on the front page, they always put the retraction on page 37 down at the bottom somewhere.
Right, and they were trying to get old Paul to bite. Baby Cannon was baiting him to bite on and saying, "Oh, so you're saying this is a put up job and all of that?" Because, and I was saying, "Don't do it, Paul, because if you say that, then this time they're going to blow up a bunch of people."
Well, Is it any certain stadium? I mean, like, is it going to be like the Big Ten or the Southeast Conference? Or?
Yeah, there's seven involved, and even Ohio has one. I'm not a football person, so I don't know.
Now, wait a minute. These terrorists better not be talking about Ohio Stadium in Columbus.
Yeah, I believe they are.
If they are, I'm headed up there. I'm gonna get a shotgun, and I'm going to stand guard.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure most of them Buckeyes would do that.
Well,
you know, but it just...
They'd be messing around with the Buckeye Army here now. They got trouble.
I know. I've never seen anybody more enthusiastic about
it. We'll go over there and kick their ass no matter where they're at. We'll get them.
I know. My best friend is from Alabama down here, and they have this thing going between Auburn and some other place. And they just, you know, they're not enemies, but it's a ferocious. Brinkmanship between this Auburn, what is it?
Well, Auburn and Alabama, that's brother against brother, that deal is.
Yeah. They're just killer about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, our little thing that we have with the state of meat chicken up there, you know, we have, I think it's the greatest rivalry in football. And, you know, I tell you, you'd be messing with the Buckeye Stadium. I don't care who it is. If it's Bin Laden, he's screwed.
Yeah,
because we'll have his ass in no time.
Yeah. Well, hey, and maybe that's what it would take. Maybe that's just what it would take for people to rise up.
Yeah, you just let him try it.
Get their attention. Another interesting thing. Remember that Australian guy who recently got killed messing with a fish?
On a stingray, big stingray.
Yeah. And he used to say, we're stalking the deadly crocodile.
Yeah, and you do that rather well.
Well, he did. I just heard the most bizarre thing ever. They got this guy, I want to say his name is Ware. He's a reporter. He's always in Baghdad on CNN. Have you ever seen that?
Mm-hmm.
That guy? And he comes out and he talks just like that guy because he's from Australia, I guess, too. And he goes, in the United States, SWAT forces are stalking the deadly jihadists. And it was so surreal and weird, and I just was trying to find a way in my mind to blame Bush for that, for the crocodile guy's death. Now we have this reporter talking with the same voice about stalking the deadly jihadists, and it was just, you know, it's just like, I'm like, I guess I got to call in. I got to tell somebody this. I can't phone suicide hotline, and I certainly can't tell my therapist if I had one.
Well, let me tell you a little story, and I think true football fans will appreciate this. I was sitting in Ohio Stadium. This happened twice. I was sitting in Ohio Stadium one time. Naturally, had a full house. Actually, they've had sellouts since 1951, I believe the year it was, the last time we had a ticket for sale. But I was sitting in the stadium, and they came over the PA address, and this has been quite a while ago, probably 20 years ago, and they said, we have to inform you that we have received a threat that there's a bomb in the stadium. Well, if you feel you should leave, why, then we're letting you know. And so they come back in about 5 minutes on the PA system and say, we've received a second call that there's a bomb in the stadium, and the whole stadium just started laughing. It was funny to see 100,000 people all laughing.
I know.
If you're going to die, what better way to go than watching the Buckeyes play football?
There you go. I mean, it's just, like I said, maybe that's what it'd take. You hit them in the football, the baseball, the beer, I can't say drive-in movies anymore, but you know, in that thing that we all love, and then maybe we finally stand up, like after Pearl Harbor was hit, and say, no, we're not going to run. I mean, because for something, I wrote an article on my site that was addressing this, is we somehow have become, we've lost that, you know, home of the brave, the land of the free and home of the brave attitude. I mean, not all of us, but there just seems to be this chicken-hearted type of a new American who would want to just say, hey, do anything to protect me.
Yeah.
No, just don't let them get me. I mean, it's very strange. I was checking through history, and I can't find that attitude. Every time this nation was attacked in the past, people stood up, and they would, you know, it's like you ever seen that old movie, The Russians Are Coming?
Oh, yeah.
And they had the citizen the groups that, although sure, kind of nutty and loony, but they get out there, and they do fire watch. And they would patrol the neighborhoods, and people would make darken their windows, and they fought back. They didn't cower. And I can't. I, the only thing I can blame, I guess, is you know the Fox and Friends, all those you know those propagandists. But I still can't understand why people bit into it and bought it.
Well, they
different
did.
Kind of crowd. It's a different crowd in America these days. I'm 50. I know you got a few years on me, but you know
you
I,
don't know that for a fact.
Well, I'm into your side.
Damn photographer.
But you're a good-looking man.
Thank you.
But seriously, I don't know where this comes from. I've never seen anything like. I mean, all throughout history, you wouldn't touch the Constitution. I mean, of people like Lincoln made a mistake, and they of course did a horrible thing with the Japanese. That kind of bad stuff happened, but for the most part, the nation didn't go nuts. They stood up.
That's right.
And this time around, it's like it's weird, you know. I mean, I don't see how we're becoming a nation just like the Germans after Versailles.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to cause it to happen. There's nothing that, I mean, they were a defeated people. They were broke. They were enslaved under huge debt. You know, but they were ready for any way out. But us, you just can't find. I can't find something that made this happen. I mean, even taking all the propaganda that's been spewed out by the president and everybody else, I can't get my head around what made the American people in mass turn around and say, "I surrender."
Yeah. Well, my dad joined the Navy December the 8th. 1941, him and his brother, the very next day after Pearl Harbor, and that's the way it was because, something terrible happened and we had to do something about it. But
my old man, too, Normandy.
Yeah, it's just one of those things have changed. I think it would be different if there was a draft right now. I think it would be people protesting this war. There would not be this war going on right now if there was a draft.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, and that's probably been the only safety mechanism keeping the draft away. But I don't know. It still doesn't touch that heart of the reason of what's wrong with the spirit of America.
Well, I think we've been hijacked by this administration, and I hope we can get out from under their boot. I really do. We're going to work hard on it over the next 3 weeks, that's for sure. Hey, thanks for your call.
Hey, thank you,
good
guy.
To hear from you.
Good to talk to you. See you later.
Yeah. And I want to tell everybody one thing. I want to put out a warning here and now. To Al-Qaeda or whoever it is threatening us once again with doing harm to us in this country. And I'm deadly serious about this. You screw with Ohio Stadium, we'll have an army of 200,000-300,000 armed people after your ass the very next day. Be led by Coach Jim Tressel, no doubt. A sacred ground. You don't mess with it. Ever. Drive on down the field, men of the scarlet and gray. Yeah. I'll break out into the fight song here in a minute. Let's go back to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Kathy Bracewell calling.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, I'm the chairperson for Code Pink of Volusia Flagler Counties in Central Florida.
Ah, yes.
Yes, I just found out about about the horn, actually, at our demonstration last Thursday night. We demonstrate every Thursday evening at a busy intersection in Daytona Beach against this illegal occupation of Iraq.
Yes. We have a group in Naples that does every Friday. Yeah, Friday night, yeah.
I wonder if I could put in a plug for our website.
Why, most certainly.
Thanks a lot. It's codepinkalert.org. That's our national website. If any of the listeners would like to go to it, they can find out more about Code Pink.
Yeah, well,
and
definitely.
Why I'm calling, Guy, is I just wanted to mention a program that's on this evening on PBS. It's Bill Moyers, and the name of the program tonight is The Net at Risk.
Oh, I didn't know that was going to be on tonight. I'm sure glad you told me.
I thought I'd alert your listeners. It's Moyers on America, and it'll be at 9 p.m. And you can also watch it on the Internet at pbs.org/Moyers.
Okay.
If you could announce this, and I wanted to announce it on your show so that the listeners could tune in.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we want them to hear, not to miss Bill Moyers' show.
Definitely.
He's the man.
He sure is. And it'll be dealing with the threat of big business privatizing the Internet.
Right, right. Well, good. I'll look forward to that.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for letting us know. I appreciate that very, very much. And our listeners
You're
do
welcome.
As well. Thank
okay.
you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's good to know. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Hey, you're welcome to give us a call, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. Have you ever heard that insane, what's his name, Glenn Beck? Listen to this.
Interesting point. I said when George Bush, they say that, you know, he's a cowboy and he's got a kind of a, he's got kind of that nervous twitch to him.
That's right.
And I like our enemies thinking that guy might just push a button.
We need a little more Kim Jong-il in the White House. We really do.
We do. I don't want Kim Jong-il because I'd like somebody that we all are in on it.
Yeah.
You know, he's not nuts. But this guy really is crazy.
Wow.
In the West, the old cowboys put their trust in a creed. They had faith in the law and the worth of a deed. But above all the rest, it was truth that came first. In the sins of the cowboy, a lie was the worst. Now old Davy Crockett had a motto, it said, be sure you are right, and then go ahead. But a rich boy from Texas has forgotten his roots, and the pride of his homeland is dead. All had an old cattle, but no master plan, and the need to do battle to avenge your own man. Cisco and Pancho, Roy would be sad to see this cowboy from Texas gone bad. Yes, we knew the Lone Ranger didn't need any fame. When they wanted to thank him, they just got his name. He needed no credit or praise for his time, but he'd do the right thing just the same. All had an old cattle with no master plan, and the need to do battle to avenge your old man. Wild Bill and Wyatt and Gene would be sad to see this cowboy from Texas gone bad. Half gun will travel, that our nation believes. We need truth from a wise man who would not deceive. When Paladin reached for his Colt 45, he was certain the truth would survive. All had an old cattle with no master plan, and the need to do battle with your head in the sand. Hop along, Cassidy, sure would be sad to see this cowboy from Texas gone bad. Yes, all those old cowboys would surely be sad to see this cowboy from Texas gone bad.
Looked at the intelligence, and we saw a threat. Members of Congress looked at the intelligence, and they saw a threat. The United Nations Security Council looked at the intelligence, and it saw a threat.
Very funny.
Tell us what you think. Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
Oh yeah, hey, we're back. You know, I listened, I noticed in that song, and I like that. I don't know the gentleman's name that sang it, but it's at a website called group therapy. And now here they are making all these jokes on the chat room. I got to be careful what I say. Group therapy, WVF.blogspot.com, and you can find that on there. So, no, I didn't sing that in group therapy. You guys get carried away on there sometimes. I don't know why. Did you notice during that song he meant? Now we'll check some of you, see if are you a little long in the tooth like I am. You know how many teeth I got left anyway, but that's a joke. I mentioned Paladin in that. How many of you remember Paladin? Do any of you even know what Paladin is or was or who or anything? Does anybody know? Paladin, Paladin, where do you roam? Yes, Paladin. As a cowboy show back in the, I don't know, 60s, early 60s maybe? Maybe even late 50s, I'm not sure. Can't think of the guy that played the part of it. I'm not good with the actors' names, not very good at all. But he was this cowboy. There you go. Ray remembers, have gun, will travel. And I think the guy that was Paladin, I think he died, but... he always had this card he'd hand it. Richard Boone, thank you. Thank you. Boy, you guys are right on the ball. He had this card he'd hand out. A business card, a cowboy. Remember those days? It says Paladin, San Francisco. Wire Paladin, San Francisco. I don't know why I remember that, but I do. All this useless information that's in my brain. My wife often comments, too bad I can't clean out that useless information, put something good in there. Hey, let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, good afternoon, Guy. Bill, I'm going through Bowling Green right now.
Bowling Green, home of the Falcons, that were recently vanquished by my Ohio State Buckeyes, by the way.
I'll meet you down on High Street.
Oh, man, at the South Burg, yes.
Yeah, so I'm on my way. I had to call you. You touched on something today, and I just had to call you on it. You said about when these elections are over, we got to take and hold impeachment and get this guy for the war crimes that he's. Did you watch the show on PBS last night?
With John Dean and all?
No.
Oh, no. Was, on PBS. I'm sorry. I was thinking C-SPAN.
It was on the... the lost year in Iraq.
No, I didn't see that.
I wasn't going to watch it because that kind of stuff really upsets me. But seeing how it was new from this year, it was produced in 2006. So I said, well, I'm going to take and watch it. And you talk about what they'd say in the Army, a cluster. That is exactly what that was. And... they lost it once that war was over, and they sent this guy in there. He was before Bremer took over, and then they brought Bremer in. Of course, he made three big mistakes in a row, disbanding the Iraqi police force and disbanding the army, and sent those people home with their weapons. And right after that, it didn't take, I think, as they said on the TV there, not a week after that, they blew up the UN, their a station in Iraq in Baghdad, and then they blew up one of the embassies, and then, of course, those civilian contractors that you remember that they hung off that bridge. And it just exploded into violence after that. And they had absolutely no plans for Iraq once they got there. They thought they were going to take and leave in 30 days. And, hey, we took this guy down. We got him in jail. And how those people can't be held accountable for that, it's just beyond me. I mean, it's criminal what they did.
Oh, you know, Rumsfeld, I've got a million quotes by him, and we've all heard him. He said, the idea that it's going to be a long, long battle is belied by what happened in 1990. He said the Iraqi army knows what kind of regime Saddam Hussein is running. They know what the damage that's done to the people of Iraq. They know the truth that the United States of America doesn't covet the land of any other country. I think that there would be, in fact, there was one instance where hundreds and hundreds of Iraqi soldiers surrendered to a journalist who didn't even have a gun. So the idea that it's going to be a long, long battle of some kind, I think, is belied by what happened in 1990. What an idiot.
A guy, I never seen anything like this. I mean, it's really one of the first programs, I think, that I've watched on this war. And how they bungled this up, you know, they vetted, they sent people over there on the reconstruction. And this one guy was in charge of, I forget what office it was and what they were going to do, but it was a big office. It had a big part of what to do about this reconstruction. This guy is about 60, 65 years old, that's over there in Iraq now. In comes his supervisor. He's 20 years old, right out of college. And he said, well, you know, we got a lot of stuff to take and do here, and this isn't going to be easy. And he says, well, and this kid says to him, he says, we come and we're ready to do business. He says, I've got five of my frat brothers here with me, and we're ready to get down to business.
Oh, frat brothers.
Frat brothers. And this guy just, and what they said in the program is they, how they vetted these people to take and go over there on this Iraqi reconstruction was this office that they had here in the United States that say, they'd bring these people in and say, well, how do you feel about Roe v. Wade? Are you a Christian? Are you this? Are you a Democrat or are you a Republican? And that's how these people got these jobs. And it is criminal what was done. You know, I was going to say to you, Guy, and I didn't mention this before because I really never wanted to say it, but do you know any Iraqis personally?
Yes, I do.
Well, I know one real personal, and it's a doctor.
Well, and it so happens that the one I know is a doctor as well.
Okay, well, this doctor delivered all three of my children.
Oh.
And one of the nicest women you'd ever want to meet in your life. And they live about, her husband is a psychiatrist. They live about four or five blocks away from me. And they had a beautiful home and everything. And when I'd take and I'd drive to get to the main drag out of the subdivision I live in, I have to go by their house each way. And I really don't like to say it, but their house, it just went to hell. They used to, she used to plant all kinds of beautiful flowers out in front of her home and everything, just manicured everything. Lawns went to hell. Shrubberies went to hell. You never see them outside anymore.
Oh, my.
And I can just imagine her son, Kenny, I used to take him fishing with me all the time, take him out on Lake Erie, take him down to Mommy and that. And,
well, are they afraid?
I don't know whether it's afraid or they just...
Because you've got an active Muslim community in the surrounding. I mean, you got one of the most beautiful mosques in the world.
Oh, you know where it is?
Oh, well, certainly. Yes.
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful, but...
I bet a lot of our listeners don't know that, but one of the most beautiful mosques you will ever see is in Toledo, Ohio, on the south side.
Yeah, you see it when you're coming off of 475 there.
Yes.
And it is. It's beautiful. But I kind of think they just I hope they're not listening, but I just think they've withdrawn and
what a shame.
Just feel horrible about what has happened. And after I watched that show last night, and you said today, you said, you know, we've got to take and hold our politicians' feet to the fire. We want these people impeached. We don't want them to serve their term out. And the Rumsfeld and Bremer and Condoleezza Rice, and I can go all right down.
Yep.
these people, what they have done, the soil, our country, and what they did is absolutely criminal, and they should be impeached and tried and, send them off to The Hague or wherever you send these people to.
Wherever it's necessary, wherever it's obvious, they should be prosecuted. I fully agree. I absolutely agree.
I highly recommend, if it's possible, that you can either catch that on the internet. It's called the Lost Year in Iraq. Whether you can still download it off the internet, I don't know, or whether you can catch it this weekend, usually on a Sunday, or like a late Sunday night or Monday morning, they rerun those. It's well worth seeing, anybody listening, and they didn't catch it. I was waiting to see if anybody talked about it on your show today.
I'm making a note here to myself to check that out.
Yeah, the Lost Year in Iraq.
I'll find it.
Okay, listen, I'm going to let you go. Great show, and I'll meet you down there on High Street.
Thanks for calling. Have one ready in the Southburg for me.
Yes, sir.
Ah, yes. You know, you go back and you look at some of these quotes, and you think these people... here's a man, Donald Rumsfeld, that the President of the United States, God help us, expresses tremendous confidence in this man. Tremendous confidence. Wouldn't accept his resignation when it was offered. I have full confidence in Donald Rumsfeld. After, you know, you might understand it if he had said this before some of these statements. But he said, after he made these statements, Bush, Rumsfeld says Iraqis would start singing and flying kites after liberation. Think of the faces in Afghanistan when the people were liberated, when they moved out into the streets and they started singing and flying kites, and women went to school and people were able to function, and other countries were able to start interacting with them. That's what will happen in Iraq, Donald Rumsfeld in 2002, September 13, 2002. And Donald Rumsfeld doubts the war. You know, during a town hall meeting with troops, Rumsfeld said if the U.S. went to war in Iraq, although it is not knowable... Oh, I love it when he starts going, and we know what we know, we don't know what we don't know, and we do. It's not knowable if force will be used, but if it is to be used, it is not knowable, there he goes again, how long that conflict would last. It could last, 6 days, 6 weeks, I doubt 6 months. And here we've got 2,700 and some kids dead. And, you know, Rumsfeld said on the weapons of mass destruction, knowing what we know about Iraq's history, no conclusion is possible except that they have and are accelerating their WMD programs. September 17th, 2002. And then Rumsfeld again. Hell, I would hide my head in shame. I would move to another freaking country and get a facelift so nobody recognized me if I had made these idiotic statements. You know, George Stephanopoulos asked him, when asked why the military had not found Iraqi weapons of mass destruction yet, Rumsfeld said, "We know where they are. They're in an area around Tikrit and Baghdad, east, west, south, and north." March 30th, 2003. And still, George Bush says he has the utmost confidence in this man. Rumsfeld said we had enough troops. General Shinseki was told by, Wolfowitz, the fair-haired boy, that Shinseki's estimate that we needed several hundred thousand troops was wildly off the mark. Rumsfeld said the Army's estimates of troops needed for post-war Iraq were way too high. Rumsfeld claims he's always recommended the number of troops asked for by the generals. He was asked by the Senate Armed Service Committee about the level of troops in Iraq, and Rumsfeld replied, "The number we have is the number they've asked for, the generals. The number that they have is the number I've agreed with." The number they have is the number I've recommended to the president. I think we've got it about right. He said that last year, in June of last year, and still the president of the United States, God help us, has the utmost confidence in this guy. I don't understand. Who could understand? I really don't. Does anybody understand this? Okay, Bush is an idiot. Okay, we all agree on that. He's a goddamn idiot. But he's certainly not so stupid, and Karl Rove is not so stupid that he wouldn't say, hey, look, we better throw Rumsfeld overboard for all that crap he said. He looks like an idiot now. And here he is running our armed services. Let's throw his ass overboard. Oh, no. No, Bush keeps him on. He looks like a more of a jackass every single day. Rumsfeld does. And yet the President of the United States, God help us, has confidence in him. Does anybody know the reason for that? It can't be political. It can't be. When you weigh this thing out, okay, I dump him, and everybody says, well, he was wrong all along, and I shouldn't have had him in there. It makes me look bad. Or I keep him, and the war's gone completely south, completely bad. It would get more and more people killed. How do I weigh this out? Wouldn't Bush get a little more respect from the people in this country if he came out and said, Rumsfeld, you've screwed it up. You're responsible for getting a bunch of kids killed. I listened to you, Rumsfeld, and I shouldn't have. But no. No, Bush comes out and says, I have a lot of, he's my man. He's my man. You know, you get guys like Bremer come and say, Bremer said, we never had enough troops in on the ground. Bremer said that. He was there. You know, Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz, both of them laughed at the chief of staff's troop level estimate. General Shinseki. Both of them thought he, made fun of him. I don't understand. Who could? And then, as close as, what was it, about August of this year, middle of August, Rumsfeld said, oh, there's violence in Iraq, but there's no civil war. Said there's no question whether there's a high level of sectarian violence, which is a shame. But the people who looked at it contend that they're not in it, and the government of Iraq says they're not in a civil war. I don't understand. He's made one idiotic, foolish statement after another, after another, after another. And he agreed with Cheney that it was in his last throes. Can anybody fathom how much better off this country would be right now if Dick Cheney, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say it anyway. Can anybody fathom how much better off this country would be right now if when the Nixon administration was over, that Rumsfeld and Cheney dropped dead right then and there? Can you put together... Can you add up the damage those two assholes have done to this country? Can you? It's unimaginable. You take Cheney out of the mix, for example, picked himself as vice president. And let's face it, he's been running the show. Where would this military adventure of ours be right now if it weren't for Dick Cheney? He was responsible for picking Donald Rumsfeld. These are crazy people. Everybody in Washington knew these were crazy people. Hardliners. I don't get it. I'll never understand that. I'll never understand it. There was one warning after another from our very own military. You know, they talk about how we had bad intelligence. Okay, let's say for a moment that we all understand that we had some bad intelligence going into the war. Let's just give them that. I don't buy that sorry-ass story, but let's do for a moment, okay? Like my dad always used to say, let's don't say we did, or what? Well, I got it backwards. Let's buy that for a moment, that they had bad intelligence going in. Okay, everybody agreed, got bad intelligence going in. We'll agree with them. What about once we got there? We didn't have bad intelligence then. We had half the United States military generals, or more than half, saying, hey, no, let's not do it this way. Let's do it this way. We need more troops. We need this and that. But oh, no. We got this crazy bastard Rumsfeld in the Pentagon saying, oh, no, you're going to do it my way, boys. And if you don't like it, you can get out. Time for one last phone call. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello? Oh, let me push the button again. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy.
Hi.
This is Bob from North Dakota.
Hi, Bob. How are you? I got about 2 minutes.
Okay. I just want to say, read the Pentagon Papers. And realize that way back when, in Nixon's era, they were looking at 100,000 dead Americans, or 150,000 dead Americans, before we could win the Vietnam War, okay? We're talking about 3,000 Americans dead, or close to that today.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
This Iraq thing. So, what do we got? We don't have 150,000 dead yet, but that's their goal. If it'll take 150,000 or better American dead before we win this Iraq war. That's their goal. They don't care. They have no care at all, Guy. You know it. I know it. But read the Pentagon Papers back when I was doing it for the country, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the truth. Okay, well, that's all I got to say tonight.
Hey, thanks for calling. Yeah, I'm glad you called. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
What goes on inside the walls of an office like Rumsfeld office in the Pentagon that we don't know about, that we would be aghast if we did know? We know of so many horrible, horrible mistakes and idiotic things that Rumsfeld has done in prosecuting this war. What is it we don't know? What's going on inside that office of his? The castigation of high-ranking military men who've made it their lives to plan war and prosecute a war. Not that I'm saying we should have been there in the first place, but my God, at least if we were there, they could have done it right. But instead, we get a buffoon running the Department of Defense. Or let's go back to calling it what it was. Let's go back to calling it the Department of War. Let's not call it the Department of Defense anymore. It is the Department of War. It's got nothing to do with defense. Nothing. That's what it was called, all you youngsters, by the way. It was called the Department of War for many, many years. And it sounded better to call it the Department of Defense. I don't know. I don't understand the Rumsfeld thing. I will never understand the Rumsfeld thing. I'll never understand the Dick Cheney thing. The Paul Wolfowitz, the Richard Pearl. I tell you what, I had goosebumps. I had chills when I saw that this lineup that they were putting into office when this cabal took over. I knew we were in for trouble. I said we were in for trouble. I think we all knew we were in for trouble. This was a very dangerous group of people to get together all in one place and have the unlimited power in their hands. Even Daddy Bush saw that, Bush 41. Even he knew that. Clinton knew that. Everybody knew that this was not a group of guys. This was a group of like dangerous chemicals that should not be mixed. Rumsfeld and Cheney, Wolfowitz and Richard Pearl and that whole gang of them, dangerous people. Very, very dangerous people. And they succeeded in taking power in this country. I, uh, God only knows how many lives that's cost having these people in office. And I would think that just one time that George Bush would want to be a man, step up to the plate, admit that he made a mistake with a guy like Donald Rumsfeld, maybe admit that he's in over his head, and damn it, if we would take the House and if we take the Senate, I'm going to be pretty disappointed, and I'm not a vindictive person, but I'm going to be very disappointed if the Democrats don't go after these people. I really am going to be disappointed in it if they don't. Well, it's been good to have you along with us today. Appreciate it very much here in the Head On Radio Network. Bob's going to be in coming up here in just a few seconds. Bob Kincaid. And I'll be with you again tomorrow from 3 to 6. Again, we're filling in for Bruce. Bob and I are splitting it up, so you stay tuned.
This is the Quality News Network. In Iraq, the death toll for American service members has risen to 101 this month. It's the fourth highest monthly death toll since the war began. Today, Vice President Dick Cheney said the spike in violence in Iraq is linked by al-Qaeda and other, quote, elements to influence the outcome of the U.S. midterm elections. National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley made an unannounced visit to Iraq today to meet with Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki and discuss the security situation. In Sadr City today, a bombing killed 33 Iraqis. Many were Shiite laborers waiting for work. Across Iraq, a total of 80 other people were killed in violence, including several bomb attacks. In southern Afghanistan, NATO troops killed 55 militants after a six-hour battle today, according to a spokesperson for the Western Alliance. One NATO soldier was killed in the fighting. In northwestern Pakistan, a religious school or madrasa, said to be used as an al-Qaeda training center, was struck by Pakistani troops and helicopter gunships. 80 suspected militants were killed in the pre-dawn strike near the Afghan border. The U.S. denies any involvement. However, Islamic leaders and militants are blaming the United States and condemning the attack. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said he is considering an expansion of the military offensive in the Gaza Strip. He said it would not result in an Israeli reoccupation of the area, but the goal would be to stop arms smuggling. In San Diego today, Republican Representative Duncan Hunter threw his hat in the 2008 presidential ring by announcing he is forming an exploratory committee. He served in Congress since 1980 and is the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. The Wall Street Journal reports that one out of four U.S. voters plans to vote by absentee ballot. The paper says this means the outcome of some of the nation's closest races may not be known until days after the polls close. In Beaumont, California, firefighters this morning have mostly contained the Esperanza wildfire. The Santa Ana winds have died down and temperatures have also gone down. Authorities say the blaze was deliberately set. In the Northeast, strong winds knocked down trees and power lines. More than 100,000 customers lost power, and thousands in upstate New York and Maine are still without power today. Two deaths were associated with the storms. And St. Louis has been named the most dangerous city in the United States, according to an annual list by a private research company. FBI statistics show that in 2005, the safest U.S. city was Brick, New Jersey. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The first shipment of American beef to South Korea in 3 years has arrived and will be quarantined for the next 2 weeks before hitting the market. U.S. beef had been banned there since 2003 because of concerns about mad cow disease. Chinese researchers have discovered that a component in curry can help reduce the risk of Alzheimer's disease. The British government has hired former Vice President Al Gore as an advisor on global warming. A British report released today states that if global warming is left unchecked, it could hurt the world's economy as much as the Great Depression and world wars. The major U.S. newspapers are reporting a decline in daily circulation. For the six-month period ending in September, the Newspaper Association of America stated that, on average, Sunday and weekly paid subscription fell about 3%. The Commerce Department reports that in September, consumer spending went up by a tenth of a percentage point. Specifically, consumers bought big-ticket goods, such as cars and appliances, while spending on food, clothes, and gasoline decreased. A Bankrate.com survey of banks in 25 large U.S. cities finds that service fees such as ATM surcharges and bounced check penalties have gone up. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.40 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was down 4 points at 12,087, the NASDAQ up 13, and the S&P 500 up 1. There's always more at our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. So what is it, 8 days now? 8 days and counting, less than 8 days. The election is almost on top of us. And as a consequence of that tonight, we've got a couple of different guests coming on the program. And a programming note, this is Mike Malloy's return to the air. This is October 30th. And God willing, all the everybody will over there at Nova M Radio will be holding their tongues just the right and everything will work. And Mike Malloy will return to the air at 9 p.m. Eastern this evening. And I know many, many of you are eagerly awaiting that return as well. You should. I'm one of those people. And so as a consequence, with the upheaval that we've had in the schedule lately, I felt like it wouldn't be a great harm if tonight we ran the show from 6 p.m. Eastern to 9 p.m. Eastern, and you guys wouldn't mind if I bailed out and knocked off at 9 instead of 10 to check out Malloy's return. Because a lot of you are going to do that too. So, you know, let's all be there for it together. What do you say? And, you know, the most important part of this process, you know, if you talk to someone in terrestrial radio, they'll say, the most important part is the advertisers. The sales staff in terrestrial radio always think that they're the most important part. The talent thinks that the talent is the most important part. The producers and engineers sit back and say, coddled babies, if it wasn't for us pushing all the buttons, nothing would ever happen around this place. So, you know, terrestrial radio is a place where everybody thinks that they're the most important thing. Not so here. Not so whatsoever. Because the fact of the matter is, everybody in terrestrial radio has it wrong. The most important part of this process is you. the people who choose to share your time, your finite, precious time with us. And so with an eye toward paying attention to the most important facet of all of this, I am inclined to put a question to you. And that question is this. Knowing what you know, would you prefer, would it, because I don't want anybody feeling like they've got any sort of conflicted loyalties or anything like that, because I am not in this business, if one may call it a business. I am not in this for the inflation of my own ego, and I am certainly not in it for the money. Then this is not that speech. I am in it to encourage a dialogue in this country and on this planet for as long as I have the strength and will to do so. That being the case, I want your thoughts. I want your opinions. We always want your opinions. That's what this is about. But moreover, if it would make you feel better, if you would like it better for me to start doing this show from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., I will be more than happy to do so. And we will tinker with the Head On Radio Network schedule accordingly. Would that be something that you would be up for? Is that something that you would like? You know, I can... We're not answering to any multimillionaire investors or anything here. We can take and taper the schedule of this network to suit your needs and your choices and your desires. That's why Horn programming is available for free live. It's available for free as an archive. It's available for free as a podcast. That's why the number to call into the programming is free. That's why the Head On Radio Network will not ask you for money. Okay? It is about you guys. Now, speaking of things that are about you guys, I do want your opinion as to what you think about the schedule that I operate in here. And secondly, the other thing that I'm wanted to let you know about is a little something that we have added. me and that mouse in my pocket. Now, another thing that John Fox has added at the main page, headonradionetwork.com. Because, you know, there are a tremendous number of listeners to this program who listen to it as a podcast and who listen to it as an archive. And with that being the case, and as a consequence, since it's not running live for you, we wanted to find a way to make it possible for you to still be able to verbalize your comments in some manner other than email, although I get a great deal of that as well, and I welcome it. Bob@headonradio.com is the email address. But if you will look at the headonradionetwork.com homepage, main page, whatever, down the right-hand column, you will see something called Evoca.com, and you will see a record and play button. If you have something, you don't have to have Vonage or Skype or anything like that. If you have something as simple as a microphone into which you can speak and be heard on your computer, you can use Evoca.com to leave your comments for Horn programs, and it in turn will let us know when there are messages. And if it works out the way John anticipates and the way that I expect, we will be able to add the comments to the program of people who are not able to listen to the comments live. And they thereby, you, will become part of this dialogue. I don't know if anybody else is doing this right now, but I'm awfully glad that John found this because it's a really cool little piece of technology, and it is super, super, super simple. So, again, it's another one of those things that's there for you. Please take advantage of it. Now, as for tonight, here in about 15 minutes or so, we'll be talking, I hope. See, this is what happens when I advance bill when I bill a guest in advance, when I promote it. Sometimes it doesn't work out. But no, I have every faith that we will hear at about half past the hour from my congressman, Nick Joe Rahal. Congressman Rahal, I contacted his office a week or so ago in the hopes of getting some comments on the torture bill. And so we will be talking about that at half past the hour. At 8:30 Eastern, we will be joined by Brian Moore, independent candidate for Senate from the state of Florida. And I know, you know, that there are some who might suggest that I am being hypocritical in this. I don't believe so. I have been hard on Greens and I have been hard on independents for a variety of reasons. But in the state of Florida, you have two so-called mainstream candidates running for that Senate seat. And in that Senate seat, the two mainstream choices are two people who believe that we should go on slaughtering Iraqis. Because, you see, Bill Nelson voted to give George Bush the power to go to war against the people of Iraq. Because, you know, Saddam's gone and the war's still going on, so obviously we're at war with the people of Iraq. Can we agree on that? Because we're not at war with our little puppet, Mr. Maliki. That leaves the people of Iraq. And the various leaders that they follow, be it the Mahdi army or al-Sadr or any one of a dozen other fringe groups and splinter groups. So, you know, Bill Nelson in Florida voted to give George Bush the power to wage war against men, women, and children who had no ability to defend themselves. And he has continued to sanction the slaughter of something upward of 650,000 men, women, and especially children. We now know by virtue of science, I know the right wing doesn't much like science, and they say things like, well, I find it not credible. Okay. Bill Nelson supported all of that. And here's the fun part. Bill Nelson still supports it. October the 17th, 2006, Bill Nelson was among those 13 mugwumps who voted to give the power to torture human beings to a man who used to take great glee in heating up wire until it was white hot and branding the buttocks of a freshman fraternity pledge at Yale. Okay, that's just where we are. I mean, I'm sure the right wing, you're anti-American. No, I'm just factual. Just factual. These are just facts. So that's why, and so, you know, I mean, you know, okay, then there's Catherine Harris, and she's just crazy. So the choice in Florida appears to be crazier than a run-over dog, Catherine Harris, or Joe Lieberman with a better tan in the form of Bill Nelson. Well, there is one other choice, and that's Brian Moore. And Brian Moore is anti-war, anti-slaughter, anti-torture, anti-false imprisonment, and he's also in favor of working people. So yeah, that's easy for me, or as big time Dick Cheney would call it, a no brainer. It is a no brainer that I, someone who absolutely insist that the troops must be brought home as soon as possible, immediately, would encourage you to support someone who feels the same way we do. Because you're not going to get that out of Bill Nelson. Oh, no. 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 Sorry. You're just not going to. So Brian Moore will join us at about 8:30 Eastern Time. And there are a couple other things that I want to go into this evening, one of which is, I don't know if you've seen the video on YouTube, but do you remember when the big ammunition dump blew up at Camp Falcon south of Baghdad? Well, if you go to YouTube or Google Video or whatever, you can find that explosion. And it is a humdinger. And what I find interesting is that the United States military immediately put out a press release saying, nobody was hurt! You go watch the video. Then do a little digging around. Find out about the 11 families of Iraqi translators who say that their people are still buried in the rubble of that disaster. Do a little digging around and find out that there are other reports that some 300 American service men and women were killed in those explosions. But no. The Pentagon says, no. We heard the first, and everybody got in their bomb shelters, and everybody's fine. Nobody was hurt. Nobody. Of course, I'm an excellent driver. Drive slow on the driveway. You tell me what you believe after you watch this. See if you think that anybody could be in the middle of the night, mind you. You know, this is not daytime when people are moving around and with the sirens and everybody runs to the bomb shelters. Middle of the night. Go watch that video and you tell me if you believe the federal government, if you believe the Bush administration, if you believe the Pentagon. Nobody was hurt. Honest to Jesus, nobody was hurt. Go have a look. I'm curious about that. That's been a burr under my saddle for several days now, ever since I watched the video and read the stories about it. But no one was hurt. You know, they're selling, but I ain't buying. Let's go to the phones. Susan joins us from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, I'd like to put in my vote. If I can have you and Mike, I'll take it.
Well, that's the feeling I get. So, you know, I'm looking strongly at the idea of just going 6-9.
Yeah, I got seriously addicted to you after you did that thing with Mike's music with driving and crying when he was fired. In fact, I was bawling all over the computer.
That can cause the keyboard to short. Better not,
yes,
do that.
Yes, it did. And anyway, but I kept listening. I listened to the rest of your program, and I realized, my God, this guy is like Mike, and I got to keep listening. And so, yeah, I got myself somebody else to listen to. Now I got two guys to listen to.
Well, you know, I think it works out rather nicely, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if we put it this way, then there's 6 solid hours of fearless, honest, progressive thought. And
that's screaming.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what we need. Oh, I have a message to the people of Oregon.
Okay.
Okay. You may feel smug because you have these nice paper ballots that are really, that you can't get rid of. That's nice. They only work if you use them. Go vote.
Exactly. I think that's the
yeah, that was my electioneering 101.
Very well done, too. Very well done. And Agnes wants to thank you for your kind gift. It arrived today.
Oh, good. I'm glad she liked it. I also have a way to... I know where she can get more.
Okay. Yeah, let's not make people think there's anything creepy going here.
No, it's perfectly legitimate.
Yeah, perfectly legitimate and perfectly legal and perfectly fine for everybody except people who flip out over caffeine like me.
Yes.
No, this place even sells decaf.
It's tea, everyone, so that no one... Susan and Bob and Glenda took care of me while I was sick, Bob and Glenda sent me beautiful magnetic bracelets to help with arthritis pain, and Susan sent me tea to make me better, and it's worked. So I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're more than welcome, hon. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
All right. You take care, Susan.
You too. And if anybody wants a copy of Sisters, just click on the picture of the cover on the blog.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Be able to download it.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Yes, that's very handy because, time permitting, we're going to have a reading from Sisters tonight.
Oh, boy. I can't wait.
I've got several really choice pages lined up. And, you know, we've also got the clip from Lynn Cheney saying there's nothing lesbian in there. Yeah, there is.
Yeah, there is. I know.
And there's, but you know, I don't care about the sex. I don't read literature for the sexy parts. You know, I got over that with, you know, somewhere around 14, 15 years old. But there's parts of Sisters that are just, creepy. Like the part where she looks down and starts playing with her dead lover's hair.
Oh, my word.
Which has been turned into a wreath, no longer attached to the dead lover, mind you.
Hey, I used to, I still do. I read romance novels, but that's creepy even for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's lots of creepy, and, you know, where Lynn Cheney said no rape scene, yeah, there's a rape scene.
There's always a rape scene in these kind of books.
Yeah, and I want to...
and they're not romance novels.
No, no, this is a lesbian bodice ripper, just like, yep. Just like we said in the show post. And that's okay.
I'm going to get off the phone and let some other people talk.
All right.
You have a really, really nice evening, Bob.
I'm going to try. Thank you, Susan. You Bye-bye. Too. Bye now. No, there are no pictures in the book. Lynn Cheney couldn't draw that well. You know, and the thing is, if you look at the publication date, it's like 1981 for Sisters. Now, do the math on their daughter's ages. In 1981, there's no... You know, there's no word processors, there's no highfalutin, you know, there's no, no. Well, I mean, you know, maybe there's like a Trash 80 or a Commodore 2.5 or whatever, you know, whatever it is they use to go to the moon. But you have to imagine Lynn Cheney sitting there whacking it, whacking it, whacking it, whacking it on the old IBM Selectric. And little Mary Cheney leaning over her shoulder, reading things. Reading statements like, let's find one. Reading statements like this. The young woman was heavily powdered, but quite attractive. A curvesome creature, rounded at bosom and cheek. When she smiled, even her teeth seemed puffed and rounded like tiny ivory pillows. When she spoke, the thick, honey-colored hair gathered at the back of her neck stirred on her shoulders. Oh, yeah, but it goes on and on and on and on. The note was short. And the thing is, again, you've got to get the mental picture in your head. You've got to get the image going for you because it's the imagery that helps you understand so very much about these creepy, creepy, creepy Cheneys. The note was short. Helen, my joy and my beloved, it began. Now, remember, the old IBM Selectric. Lynn Cheney using her best touch typing skills that she learned in high school back in Wyoming. Clack-a-da, clack-a-da, remember the noise that the IBM Selectric made? And over her shoulder is little, maybe pre-adolescent, Mary Cheney. Why do we stay? I have no reason beyond a few pupils who would miss me briefly, and your life would be infinitely better away from him. Let us go away together, away from the anger and imperatives of men. We shall find ourselves a secluded bower where they dare not venture. There will be only the two of us, and we shall linger through long afternoons.
of sweet retirement. In the evenings, I shall read to you while you work your cross stitch in the firelight, and then we shall go to bed. Our bed, my dearest girl. And little Mary Cheney's over her shoulder, and she, Mommy, sometimes you call me my dearest girl, too. What does all that mean? You know, yeah. No, you're making the icky noises, Agnes. I understand. It's an icky damn book. Hairball. But there's... Oh, Lord, we're gonna... I got other places to go in this book. But one question. One question. Because it was Lynn Cheney, people automatically leaped to this god-awful tome. I mean, it is the literary and reading equivalent of dental work without Novocaine. It is painful. It's just bad. You know, it's why you read it and you begin to believe in that theory, that maxim that says given an infinite number of monkeys and an infinite number of typewriters, that one of them will sooner or later type Hamlet. Well, it already happened, sorta, and the outcome was sisters. But here's my question. In the midst of all this discussion, have we forgotten about Irving Scooter Libby? You know, because this whole thing was started, this little tempest in a teapot that matters nothing, but upon which we are gazing at the moment. This whole thing started with James Webb and a novel that he wrote. And the Republicans are hollering, "He writes dirty books! He writes dirty books!" And so Lynn Cheney winds up on Wolf Blitzer's program. Wolf was all a titter today. "I don't know why she questioned my patriotism." Yeah, well, okay, thanks. Good luck with all that, Wolf. They're Republicans. It's all they know how to do. But have we forgotten about Scooter Libby's little book? I mean, while we're out there talking about dirty Republican books, and this is dirty, the novel that Scooter Libby wrote that was set in, some time past, is not living up to her father's conservative Tennessee family values? Is that fair? Or should they be left out of it? Did Rush Limbaugh leave Chelsea Clinton out of it when he called her the White House dog? Oh, I know what the other side of this argument is. Well, Bob, we can't be as nasty as they are. They're that way, and that's just a problem for them because they're nasty people. But we can't, even for victory, we can't sink to their level. Well, no, I don't think we're sinking to their level to point out the fact that these people say, you know, oh, they've got to defend marriage from the gay people. Can't have a couple of guys out there getting monogrammed towels or nothing. Because they're defending family values. Well, what kind of family values is it when your daughter's in a photograph at Facebook and you can see some leering, the kind of boy that, you know, when he showed up around here, chasing after our oldest, I'd put my arm around him, walk him out beside the house and say, "Son, I have a 45 and a shovel and you will not be missed." But, you know, some boy leering over Julia Corker's shoulder. He's got his hands on her. He's got his hands on her backside. And you remember that line in Let's Do the Time Warp? Where they sing, "And then you do the pelvic thrust till it drives you insane." Yeah, 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 yeah. Dry, mm-ing. This is what's in the, yeah. And she certainly doesn't appear to be embarrassed by it. And then there's the girls gone wild picture with them both a kissing away, not the boy and the girl, but the girl and the girl. None of which matters if that's what her sexuality is. Not at all. but it does matter if Bob Corker is going to suggest to the people of Tennessee that it is his family values, which he will take to the Senate of the United States, if those family values are what are on display in those photographs. Right? I mean, does that make sense? Okay, now, it's... Well, let's set this up nicely. First of all, there is, and I'm sure you've all heard it, but for God's sakes, let's hear it again. Lynn Cheney talking Friday to Wolf Blitzer.
Here's what the Democratic Party put out today, the Democratic Congressional Senatorial Campaign Committee. Lynn Cheney's book featured brothels and attempted rape. In 1981, Vice President Dick Cheney's wife, Lynn, wrote a book called Sisters, which featured a lesbian love affair, brothels, and attempted rapes. In 1988, Lynn Cheney wrote about a Republican vice president who dies of a heart attack while having sex with his mistress. Is that true?
Nothing explicit. And actually, that is full of lies.
Nothing explicit.
It's not, it's just, it's absolutely not
true. But you
true.
Did write a book entitled Sisters.
I did write a book entitled Sisters.
Did have
this
lesbian
description,
characters.
This, no, not necessarily. This description is
not necessarily.
A lie. I'll stand on that.
There's nothing in there about rapes,
Wolf,
and brothels.
Wolf, could we talk about a children's book for a minute?
We can't talk about the children's
no,
book.
No, you damn liar.
The segment is like 15
I
minutes
just,
long,
I,
and
I
we've now done 10 minutes.
I just wanted to clarify what's in the news today.
Sex, lies, and distortion,
this
that's
is,
what it
this
is.
This is an opportunity for you to explain on these sensitive
Wolf,
issues.
Wolf, I have nothing to explain. Jim Webb has a lot to explain.
Well, he says he's as a serious writer, a novelist, a fiction writer, he was doing basically what you were doing.
Jim Webb is full of baloney.
We'll leave it at that. Let's talk a little bit about your book, Our 50 States.
You know, the idea of having that evil family try to write children's book. And this is the part where we drink the blood, babies. Oy. Let's see. Oh, Agnes says I got to take a break. Well, okay. We're gonna come back and let's see. What did she say? There were no, well, not explicit ones. Okay, well, let's find out what explicit means in Rapigli world. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
A routine visit to the pediatrician costs more than a minimum wage worker earns in one full day. For nearly a decade, Virginia's minimum wage has remained pitifully low at $5.15 an hour.
I'm a single mom and I have to work two jobs just to pay the rent and put food on the table. It's really hard.
America needs a raise. Help raise the minimum wage. Sign the petition at www.vafairwage.org. Sponsored by the Virginia AFL-CIO, working hard for all working people.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 3/4. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day. to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
People should be free to enter into any kind of relationship they want to enter into.
People should be free to enter into the relationships that they choose.
I think different states are likely to come to different conclusions, and that's appropriate.
When it comes to conferring legal status on relationships, that is a matter left to the state.
I don't think there should necessarily be a federal policy in this area.
This message brought to you by Lynn and Dick Cheney.
We're back. Agnes has a sick and twisted sense of humor that I just adore. All right, let's go back to sisters. Now, what was that line that Lynn Cheney used in talking to Wolf Blitzer when she was coming unglued? I mean, did you see her eyes bugging out and stuff? It was. I don't know, maybe she's bionic like her husband now. But she told Wolf there was nothing explicit. Do we still have that, Agnes?
Yes, we do.
Okay, let's see if we can find this again. I want to make sure that we've got this right.
Party put out today, the Democratic Congressional Senatorial Campaign Committee. Lynn Cheney's book featured brothels and attempted rape. In 1981, Vice President Dick Cheney's wife, Lynn, wrote a book called Sisters, which featured a lesbian love affair, brothels, and attempted rapes. In 1988, Lynn Cheney wrote about a Republican vice president who dies of a heart attack while having sex with his mistress. Is that true?
Nothing explicit.
Nothing explicit, right? Got that? Nothing explicit. She was sitting with her legs bent in inverted V's, and when she leaned back on her arms to consider her arrangement, Sophie saw that the front of her dress was strained slightly. Her breasts were growing, and Sophie wondered if she had begun to menstruate yet. And if she had, would she tell her about it? Would her odd matter-of-factness carry over to her own coming of age? Sophie remembered when her own flow had begun. She had felt obliged to tell her grandmother, had gone looking for her, not because she wanted to tell her, but because she thought she should. Dear woman had been sewing a pair of moccasins when Sophie found her. The bleeding. It's begun for me, she blurted out. Now, what did Lynn Cheney say again?
Explicit, and actually that is full of lies.
Oh, nothing explicit and full of lies. Okay, well that wasn't explicit. Okay, well that wasn't explicit. Okay, so let's try this. Let's go over a few pages. Dear God, this is just bad. Sophie opened it, thinking she should thank Ada. But when she saw what was inside, she was speechless. There were several small sponges, each in a silken net with a string attached. There were packets labeled preventative powders, and lined up in neat rows were several dozen condoms.
Explicit, and actually that is full of lies.
There are all these things, you know, Ada was saying, but the sheaths really are the best. Sometimes men don't like them.
Explicit, and actually that is full of lies.
She stared into space for a moment, seeming to remember something. Then she gave a small shrug. But since it is they who get us with child, don't you think we should cooperate? Let's go somewhere else. Wilson put out a hand, a stubby, filthy hand, and rubbed his fingers over the side of Sophie's face.
Soft, he said. Soft and smooth. Ain't like mine, is it?
He fingered the suppurating scab on his cheek.
You see what that whip done? You see what your sweetheart done?
He kissed her, forcing her lips open with his mouth. She could taste the whiskey he had been drinking, feel his whiskers and the scab on his face. A wave of revulsion swept over her, and she pushed him away. As he fell back, the white bulldog moved toward her, his growl becoming louder.
Heh, fasty, ain't she, Looper?
Wilson stroked the dog.
Well, sometimes that kind's the most fun.
And, Mrs. Cheney, you said what? Now, what was that, Mrs. Cheney?
Nothing explicit, and actually that is full of lies.
Back it up. Let's make sure. I want to make sure she's saying nothing explicit.
Nothing explicit, and actually that is full of lies.
So here we are just lying, because this is not so. This is apparently not Sisters by Lynn Cheney, or it's Sisters by the Lynn Cheney that came from the Star Trek alternative universe with a beard on, just like Jim Kirk. As Wilson moved toward Sophie, she stood, but the dog growled menacingly, and she dared move no farther. Wilson grabbed her by the shoulders and put his face on her neck, nuzzling her. He mumbled words she couldn't understand.
Jesus.
Because he was speaking in Cree. He kissed her then, full on the lips as before, and he began to fumble with the buttons on the front of her. I told you this was a bodice ripper! Fumble with the buttons on front of her dress. His breath, the whiskers scratching her face, again with the whiskers, his filthy hands on her flesh. Suddenly it was too much. No matter the consequences, she could not accept this. No! She shouted, breaking away from him and lunging for the door. Sophie began to recognize in the woman's words a familiar emotion. Yes, she thought. Yes, that's how I felt when Wilson put his hands on me, breathed on me. It wasn't only fear. It was the affront, the insult. I couldn't stand.
Inflamed by liquor, Cleantha went on, men turn upon the physically weaker sex. They turn upon innocent women whose only crime is to attract their glance or to be joined to them by the sacred bond of marriage.
Sophie was brought up short. This woman was talking about more than the kind of outrage Wilson had attempted. She was talking about husbands and wives.
They indulge themselves selfishly, sensually, with no thought of the consequences for us. For their own pleasure, they condemn us to early graves, murdering us as surely as if they had a knotted cord around our necks.
You get the idea yet? What a liar Lynn Cheney is. Ooh, you can't. Yeah, I can. Because we got it there. We got it. It's right there. It's in the computer file. You can hear. Ah, there's nothing explicit in there. Ah, there's no brothels. There's no. It's set in Wyoming! If it weren't for brothels and taverns, there wouldn't be a Wyoming back then. Is it not possible, Sophie asked, choosing her words carefully, that the pleasure of two human beings who love one another is transfiguring? That's not how women are, Lydia burst out. You want to do some of this, Agnes?
Oh, no. I want to.
Couldn't keep a straight face, could you?
I just want to make it go away. I feel something coming up in my mouth, and it's not good.
Let's see. It's not pleasure for women. That's only how men would like it to be. She paused and leaned forward and continued, "And it is my perfect right to be as I am, to be as God meant me to be. Why should I demean myself by pretending I find so much pleasure in the act that I would seek it as an end in itself? And that's what the devices do." Devices? "And that's what the devices do. They don't emancipate. They reduce a woman to the level of a prostitute." That would be devices. I'm not Howard Stern. I get no titillation out of this. This appeals to no prurient interest in my point. But there is Lynn Cheney, Second Lady of the United States, the matron of moral purity, for the love of God, writing about devices.
I see where you're going with this, and I understand. I don't understand how the fundamentalists could get behind that, because that has nothing to do with family values, I don't think. But, you know, this is torture. This really is torture, and they're really in for it. Now we understand why they passed that bill.
Which one? The one that says you can't sell devices in Alabama? Because you can't.
No, it wasn't in the device law.
Okay, let's do the news.
That sounds good.
All
thank
right.
you.
We'll come back. We've got more sisters for you. Don't worry.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
That's what he thinks. He may not come back after the news.
We will be back. This is the Head On Radio Network. Oh, there's a whole bunch of ew in this book. I'm Bob Kincaid. Your comments are welcome. You know that. 877-443-2366. Jump right in.
This is the Quality News Network. The number of U.S. military killed in Iraq this month now stands at 101, with the death today of a soldier in East Baghdad. The Associated Press reports that at least 2,814 American soldiers have been killed so far in the Iraq War. In Iraq today, violence throughout the country has resulted in at least 80 deaths, 33 of them from a bomb in Baghdad's Sadr City, where a number of day laborers were looking for work. National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley is now in Baghdad on an unannounced visit to meet with U.S. military commanders and Iraqi government officials. In southern Afghanistan, NATO troops killed 55 militants after a six-hour battle today, according to a spokesperson for the Western Alliance. One NATO soldier was killed in the fighting. Another major battle on Saturday left 70 insurgents dead. In northwestern Pakistan, a religious school said to be used as an al-Qaeda training center was struck by Pakistani troops and helicopter gunships. 80 suspected militants were killed in the pre-drawn strike. The U.S. denies involvement. However, Islamic leaders and militants are blaming the United States and condemning the attack. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said he is considering an expansion of the military offensive in the Gaza Strip. He said it would not result in an Israeli reoccupation of the area, but that the goal is to stop arms smuggling. Nigeria's Muslim community is mourning the death of their leader, the Sultan of Sokoto. The Sultan was one of the 99 people killed in a Nigerian jet crash yesterday that is being blamed on pilot error. This crash was the third fatal jet crash in Nigeria in the last year. The president of Nigeria has ordered aviation officials to improve safety on